An improving jobs picture still isn't good enough if you're one of the millions and millions stuck in unemployment limbo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. The hour just ahead is what keeps all those economic experts on the edge of their seats. The Department of Labor is set to release its jobs data for February, and forecasters expect our economy added more jobs than we've seen in a long time. Try telling that to the nearly 5 million Americans the government officially counts as drawing unemployment aid. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, even a strong report will leave us far from where we need to be.
Georgetown University economist Harry Holzer says our economy needs to add more than 250,000 jobs a month. And even then, it would take 5 years to drop below 5% unemployment. The last time we saw growth like that was in the tech boom of the 90s.
Well, it was kind of fun, frankly.
Holzer was chief economist at the Department of Labor back then.
Because it wasn't hard to crow about those numbers.
Will economists ever have something to crow about?
It's possible that we could see that again.
But not probable, says Sylvia Allegretto, an economist at the University of California, Berkeley.
No one is expecting to have job growth anytime soon that is going to come close to what we saw in, say, the boom times of the late 1990s.
With the rising price of oil, cutbacks in state budgets, and the slow pace of hiring among private companies, she says it's unlikely we'll drop below 7% unemployment for several years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The Prime Minister of Greece conceded publicly today that his country could end up at the negotiating table for another bailout. He's pushing for a coordinated rescue policy from European leaders at a summit later this month. And yet inside Greece, people are ditching loud public demonstrations in favor of a quieter form of protest against budget cuts. They're refusing to pay road tolls and other fees. From Athens, Joanna Kakikis reports.
There's always a siren going off at the Efidnes toll booth just outside of Athens. That's because some of the gates at the toll stations here are disabled, so people can go through without paying. The We Won't Pay movement began in Efidnes, a village of 3,000 people. The people who live here say they were tired of paying more than $4,000 in road tolls every year to go to work in Athens. Every weekend, a group from the village comes to the toll station to protest. Ioannis Germanos is one of the protesters. He says they lift the gates to send a message to the government.
On this Sunday, all the people from the village come here for a couple of hours. Conquer the place for 2 hours.
The We Won't Pay movement in Greece now has more than 10,000 registered members. But the government says not paying fees and taxes will starve Greece of money it desperately needs to get out of debt. From Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
Sorry, Joanna, I'll practice that one. Which brings us to this. Let's do the numbers. Pay no mind to the still iffy financial situation facing Europe and consider a fresh bounce in oil prices already priced into global markets. How else to explain another optimistic trading day in Asia and in Europe, where stocks are up at this hour between a third and two-thirds of a percent?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Solar power is amping up its popularity in neighborhoods across the country, but it's not sales necessarily. The fastest growing part of the business is in leasing solar panels to homeowners instead of selling them. Solar lease companies expect to double their business this year. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Troll reports.
In the backyard of Mike Jones' suburban home in West Hills, California, you see citrus trees, a swing set, and
22 solar panels on the south side of our house.
They've been turned on about 5 months. When the sun's shining, Jones' utility meter sometimes points backwards.
Now we're generating more than we're using.
But he can't sell that power to the grid because the system belongs to a company called Sungevity.
There's no way we could have afforded it without going through the lease method.
The panels would have cost about $14,000. With a lease, Sungevity hooked up the panels, maintained them, and owns the power. It cost Jones about $4,000 for a 20-year lease to use that solar power, about 55 cents a day.
Unbelievable, really. It took me 3 or 4 days to get a hold of that, and I had did all kinds of research. I thought it might have been a scam.
But so far, he says it's a great deal. He's still hooked up to the grid, but the panels lower his power bill to a few dollars a month. Sungevity founder Danny Kennedy says his company aims to make residential solar ubiquitous. The internet is a key factor. Homeowners enter their address at sungevity.com. An engineer evaluates their roof online.
So here you see your house and where we would put the panels.
Within 24 hours, potential customers get a price quote by email. No on-site evaluation needed.
We want to be the Amazon of solar, if you like, or the Netflix or the iTunes.
Phone reps seal the deal after customers get their online quote and celebrate with maracas. And some investors are getting the tax credits and rebates for that. Solar lease customers sign over any incentives to the leasing company's investors. That's how the companies attract capital. So much so that Sungevity and other solar lease outfits are now expanding to the East Coast, where even with less sun, they plan to make solar shine. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, get your motor running. It's now legal to buy and sell motorcycles on a Sunday in New Jersey. The state's governor just signed the change into law. It was passed after a cycle shop complained it was losing customers to stores across the border in Pennsylvania and Delaware on Sundays. It's still never on a Sunday in Bergen County across the Hudson from New York City. Blue laws in that part of Jersey still prohibit selling most non-essential items on Sunday. But hey, this is a pretty bold move everywhere else in New Jersey.
Born to be wild.
Oh, but wait. I see here that like a dozen other states, New Jersey still doesn't allow auto sales on Sundays. Don't ask me why motorcycles are now a different matter. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The revolutions in the Arab world have given citizens a voice in more ways than you might think.
The fear that the phones are tapped and we cannot speak is over.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Saudi Arabians find the courage to speak out. That story, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.